value of the story and is not to get lost in the technology. We get so focused on the tech or the tools and like trying to say, well, this looks really cool. Let's try this thing. And that's okay. But you have to understand the question is, what is it communicating? What is the message you're trying to say?
That was the voice of Trevor Ivan, instructor of journalism at Youngstown State University. He has also worked as a professional journalist and researcher for the Center for Scholastic Journalism. Hi, my name is Sylvia Klug, and welcome to The Source, Quill and Scrolls podcast. Trevor joins me today for this week's episode of The Source. Welcome, Trevor.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So I first want to start off with a little bit of background. How did your career lead you to being an instructor of journalism at Youngstown State University?
Well, I think it all started really when I was in high school. So I got my start when I was 16, and I had a guidance counselor who suggested I fill a hole in my schedule with a newspaper class. And I'd never thought about doing that. And I was like, sure, why not? And then it sort of that launched my career. I spent a year as a reporter. And then my senior year, I got to be the editor of the paper. So it was just one of those things where it was something I never really considered, but that's where I sort of ended up. I decided to pursue a newspaper degree. This is, of course, I'm dating myself because this is like almost 17 years ago now, but when they actually still had a track called newspaper journalism. But in college at Kent State, I decided to major in newspaper journalism. And as I started working through the program, I started working with the folks who are what is now the Center for Scholastic Journalism. Back then it had a different name, but that was sort of where I also got my start in high school too, was I learned about the importance of contests, entering contests and getting feedback. And one of the places we did that when I was in high school was at Kent State. They offered us a state level program in Ohio that sort of did exactly what Quill and Scroll does in some respects, where you submit your publication for critique and for contest. And so I started working with those folks. And at that point, like I started to really see the value in journalism education and in reaching out to students. And so one of the things I did at that point was I sort of became the assistant advisor to my high school publication. And I did that for about 8 years. I worked with that same group of students, going back to that same classroom almost every week or sometimes more than once a week, and going in and seeing the turnover, but seeing the things that stayed consistent. And that's where I really fell in love with teaching. I really understood that in order to understand how the news works and understand how democracy works, like another generation needs to understand where information comes from. And I think that was my goal in saying, how do we teach students how to consume the news? And how do we teach them to have a voice and how to use their voice well? So long story short, once the Center for Scholastic Journalism was formed in about 2007, which is right when I graduated from Kent State as an undergrad, I decided to go back and get my master's. And I worked at the center for about 5 years while I was getting my master's. And after that, I did a brief stint at the National Scholastic Press Association as the contest coordinator. And over time, I've done other professional gigs, especially working in journalism. I was a managing editor at a community newspaper for a while. I have also worked a lot in the sort of the other side, in the public relations side, as a communications professional for several organizations. But ultimately, I have a great love of teaching, and that's what ultimately drew me back to, I was offered a position a few years ago to teach at Youngstown State, specifically. One thing I absolutely love doing is teaching a class called Advising Student Media, where we train like English teachers who are going to be teaching journalism at the high school level. And so that's one of my great passions and one of the things that I truly enjoy doing. And also I do a lot of judging for Quill and Scroll. I've been doing that for probably close to 10 years now, and for a lot of other organizations, state and national organizations across the country. So that's kind of my background right there.
Thank you. Obviously, you have an immense amount of experience working with student publications, student media, but I do want to focus on that class that you enjoy teaching. What is your biggest takeaway that you hope to teach advisors who are moving to direct student publications?
One of the things I've noticed in the students I get is their own understanding of what student media is so limited, because some of the experiences they've had in high school, whether if they did even work on a yearbook or on a newspaper, the quality was so low, or even if they were consumers of such, that, you know, one of the students told me, they said when they took the class, you know, at the end of the semester, they told me, they said, you know, at the beginning, we said, we didn't think we were going to learn anything because we didn't think there was anything to learn about student media or about how to teach it. And they thought this class was a total waste. And they said, but they said it was actually one of my favorite classes I've ever taken because it expanded my horizons as to what's possible. And the thing I've found is that, you know, these students want to teach. They want to interact with young people. They want to help them find their voice. And they never realize that student media and journalism are ways they can actually do that. That's actually a way you, you know, there are so many outlets of the types of stories you tell, how you tell them. And it's just like, this is another way to help students reach their potential. And they were just blown away by that. The other thing that I think is so important is there's a heavy component in the class about First Amendment law, about media literacy. And I think the students in my class themselves learn a lot, because I mean, every year I have one of the, you know, somebody will tell me like, oh, I didn't know the First Amendment protected hate speech, and you know why. And they're like, oh, I actually understand why that's the case now. I understand. And so there's just so many things they need to understand. So I think it was exciting to me is it just, I think the class makes them smarter people. Even if they never end up teaching journalism, they become smarter, they become better. And I'm like, hey, we did just a little bit. We got that little, you know, I reached 15 more students now who understand more about freedom of speech. They understand more about how do we evaluate information that they're seeing on Facebook and on other social media platforms. And I'm like, yeah, like no matter what, like we did some good here. So like we're moving the needle a little bit.
Right. And obviously you can't have a fantastic student publication without a fantastic advisor who's prepared to lead those students into new feats. Mm-hmm. And I do want to talk about what is one thing you've noticed as a collegiate level instructor moving from high school level journalism. How can students reach that higher peak of journalism in really any type of category, whether that be photojournalism, video journalism, or just strict newspaper journalism?
Mm-hmm. I think what students need to remember is that it all comes back to the quality. It comes back to the standards. It comes back to understanding the basics. And that's something I also try to instill, especially in this ones that I'm teaching to be future advisors about, you know, the students that you're going to encounter in high school, they may know nothing. Like when it comes to like setting up a basic interview, when it comes to how to find background research on your subject, they may be starting at absolutely nothing. And that's where you have to build that foundation from right there to keep going up and up and up to say, you know, okay, we learned how to do this. Well, now we're going to learn something else. Now we're going to build on that. And I think it's also the goal for the students who come into college and they want to continue pursuing that career or that field is to just always remember the basics. Always remember your goal is to find the truth. Your goal is to understand your audience, to understand needs. But as you keep going, there's just more skills that build on all those things. And I think what you need to do is find what you're trying to learn. Think about, you know, whether it's video or photo, and try to instill, okay, how can I take this to another level? What's the next thing I need to learn? And always be thinking that, you know, you've never learned everything. You know, nobody's perfect. So, you know, there's always a place to get better. There's always a place to learn, to understand, to do more. So I think that's probably the goal, is just to focus on the basics, but also keep thinking about what can I learn next.
Yeah, exactly. For those listeners of our podcast who have been here throughout our series focusing on interviewing judges and professionals, that's something that they continue to say is have that ability to learn and that thirst for knowledge. I also heard you mention truth. Obviously, that's one of Quill and Scroll's founding principles. We love to hear that. And you did mention you've been a Quill and Scroll judge for nearly 10 years. I want to move to our Writing Photo and Multimedia Contest, which just opened for entries and will be open until February 5th. Last year, you judged our video sports package category and our video news package category. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about video and what made those winning entries in those categories stand out?
Sure. I think in overall, what I think you want to always understand is, and this is something I try to drill into students and also into future advisors, is the value of the story and is not to get lost in the technology. And this is also true even with design, like print design too, is sometimes we get so focused on the tech or the tools and like trying to say, well, this looks really cool, let's try this thing. And that's okay, but you have to understand the question is, what is it communicating? What is the message you're trying to say? So a really good story has a message, it has a point, but you're finding ways to use the tools available to you, to use the technology to tell the story better. And that's the thing that I think sometimes gets lost, but that's also the thing that stands out, and especially the one in the contest entries that sort of stand above the rest, is they had a story and they used the tools available to tell it well. They took the time to understand, you know, how can this camera help me to reach my audience better? And that I think is what, I think that's the thing that really stands out about so many of those things, is getting them to understand how to do both of those things and do them well.
That kind of leads me into my next question. For students, schools, and advisors that don't necessarily have a broadcast program or don't have that video experience, how can they build that program from the ground up? What are tools that they can take to understand that technology so it doesn't become a barrier in telling their story?
I think the one really nice thing is today is that this technology has become so much more accessible that you don't necessarily need, you know, all these fancy cameras and such. Now, yes, I don't want to be misunderstood here with somebody. Yes, those things are wonderful, and certainly they can elevate you to another level. But you can start, it's the thing I always tell students is you can start with your basic cell phone camera. And as those cameras keep getting better and better and better, you have the ability to just take your camera out and shoot really good video. You can start there. And that's, I think, one of the things that I always talk about when I teach advisors is I say, you know, you may be put in a situation where you may be taking over a program that's sort of falling apart and you don't even know where to start. And you think of all these great things you can do, but you're like, well, how do I actually get started? What do I do? And I think that's where you can start right there. That basic level of the cell phone can be your equipment to start off with until you can build a budget or until you can do those things. I think there's so many good courses out there, even free courses about teaching students how to use their cell phones or teaching anyone just how to use the phone to capture photos and video. And then again, supplementing that and thinking about how am I actually telling a story? What am I actually looking at here? So it's not just going and turning the camera on and pointing it and zooming all over the place and saying, what did I come back with? It's what's my message? What do I want people to actually take away from this? What does my audience need to see or know? And that right there is, I think, again, you go back to that twofold thing of what's the story and how can I use the technology to do that? And then you start building. And then so you learn, okay, so we did this skill really well. We learned how to take pictures. We learned, you know, one of the things I took away from going to the JEA NSPA convention a few weeks ago virtually here at my computer was the sessions I watched. They all said, make sure you zoom with your feet, like get closer to the subject. Don't rely on, you know, just zooming in on things like that. So those little basic skills like that. Okay, we learned how to do that. So what's the next step? What's the next thing? What's the next tool that we can use to do something a little bit different, a little bit more in depth? That's kind of the, I think that's the mindset. I always preach mindset. You know, everything in journalism is about the right mindset. And I think that's where you start.
I love that you said to use your feet to get into a photograph or a video. Our last podcast with Liz Martin focused on visual journalism and photography and the importance of using your body to get into a subject matter and a story. And I think that's a great tip to take into the future as, you know, we have that technology. We have a cell phone to use to our advantage. Obviously, you've had a lot of experience with students throughout your career, but what have you noticed in the advancement of technology that's made the approach to scholastic journalism different than it was 10 years ago?
I think even just one of the really interesting thing was when I was helping to run contests, you know, like 10 years ago, like website contests, this was just like a little extra thing. Like maybe you had a website, maybe it was there. Now I think we're moving into that, we're in that phase now where it's like, that's almost just like expected. Like you, like, what do you mean you don't have a digital presence? I think one of the things you realize is that one of the other things I'm really big on telling students is when I present at workshops is you need to be where your audience is. And so I asked them, you know, like I asked how many of you have a Snapchat account? And then, you know, most of them raised their hand. And then I even point out to them, I have a Snapchat account. And I said, I might use it a little differently than you might, but I was like, you know, even quote unquote old people have Snapchat accounts sometimes. So you need to understand, well, if your audience is on Snapchat, you need to be on Snapchat. How do you find the way to use the tools to tell a story? So I think what's changed here is there's so many tools available. And I think one of the things you have to realize is in the old days, you know, we had one medium, we had the paper, and you know, there was a way to do that. There was a way to put it together. But now that we have all these tools available, what I think you need to, the important thing is to take stock of your resources, not just your budget, but also your time and the amount of students you have available on your staff, the amount of skill level they have, and to decide, where do we want to devote our resources? Where do you want to start putting time and energy into? Because one of the worst things you can do is just, it's good to have digital tools, but if you just open accounts on all these different platforms and you don't have a method or a plan in place for how you're going to populate them with content that's worthwhile reading, you're going to lose readers. Or on the other side, if you have all these accounts and you never update them, if people come and the only thing they're seeing is stories from a month ago or 6 months ago, they're not going to return to those. So I think you need to think about how you're going to use them well in order to actually attract your readers and retain your readers. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I see as a judge, where you'll see people with good intentions, but I just don't think they maybe took that time to understand, well, how are we going to use this tool? What's the purpose of it? It's not just, let's just open this account. What's the purpose? Why are we doing it?
Right. And I think there's a certain connotation around the term social media. People often think about, especially myself when I was in high school, I thought about my Twitter, my Instagram, my Snapchat as being something that is used purely for a social purpose in communicating with my friends rather than promoting the work that I was doing. And that's something that I found to be really valuable in my education in school right now, is that they teach you, you know, Twitter is where you get your news. This is what's being updated. This is what's current. Which I think is great for students to remember.
And I think even drawing on that too, I think it's also a portion to teach the students, you know, that, you know, I understand you're still a high school student in that context. You obviously are using these things for personal means, but you have to also remember, it's hard sometimes to separate. I'm the student over here. This is my personal thing, but then I'm a reporter over here. And what you post here can have an impact on how seriously people take you in this realm. So you understand that there's a whole literacy thing of teaching students how to have a professional looking Twitter presence, even when you're 16, you know, to understand that people sort of make judgments and they right or wrong, but that's sometimes, you know, based on what you post and how you post it and then how you cover the stories and things. So I think there's a whole nother level of like media literacy just with that alone.
Yes, and that's definitely an ongoing life lesson that we've learned in popular media, just things that have been brought up from the ghost of Twitter's past, as you may call it. But we're wrapping up on our time here. Is there anything else that you would like advisors or future advisors and high school students to know about journalism?
I think you just understand the importance of what you're doing. I think that people, you know, if you look at all the examples you can find of students that have made a huge difference just by asking questions and just by looking into things and understanding, you know, be curious about the world around you and understand that despite some of the messages you hear from some people that, you know, what you do is important. And sometimes, you know, you need to ask tough questions and you need to be ready to be tenacious and accept pushback. Like that's one of the things I'm always impressed by in like the many of the entries I've looked at, individual entries for Quill and Squirrel and also some of the overall entries in the summertime, is just the amount of tenacity that the students have to tell good stories and to think through how are we going to tell this story in words and in visuals and package it together to make it something our audience understands and something they want to read about. And that's where it all starts. You know, no matter, the technology is going to change, it's going to constantly be updated, but those core principles of good storytelling and finding the truth, they never change. And that's what will stand out. And that's what you need to focus on.
That's all the time we have for today on The Source. Thanks so much for joining me, Trevor.
Thank you.
I'm Sylvia Club. Until next time, signing off.